The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Good morning, Anthony Reich. How are you?
Boker tov, shavua tov. Very good. Nice to speak to you guys. And I just wanted to mention that I was looking at an article about Israeli tourism. So for those of you who visited Israel recently, they have the survey that they do on tourists who come into Israel. 2018 was a record-breaking year with more than 4 million tourists to Israel. Apparently, 93% of them said that they found their visit to be either good or excellent. And that an astonishing 53% of tourists said that their views on Israel had changed for the better after they visited the country. Here's a very, very surprising one, and then we'll go on to the main stuff. 54% of all tourists who visited Israel during 2018 were Christians.
Wow.
I've got to tell you, none of that is surprising to me. Nothing.
Okay. Well, I was a little surprised by some of the things. I'll tell you one other thing that was a little bit surprising to me was that 36% of tourists who visited Israel were in the age group from 25 to 44, and that the under 24s were 21%, a relatively smaller group. And I always considered Israel to be one of those countries where young people really like to come and visit. But apparently, those people who are visiting Israel are kind of becoming a little older. And once upon a time, it was really the rave place for young people to visit. And I guess it still is to some degree. But a lot of the tourists are coming here are in the slightly older category these days. Not surprising that Jerusalem and the Old City were the most visited city and visited site. More than 70% of tourists visiting there during the visit here. But, yeah, it's good to see that only 1.5% of people who actually visited Israel last year said that their view had changed for the worst having visited here. So it seems as if they're visiting Israel can be highly influential on the way that people see the country.
Very interesting. Anthony, let's get to some other news. Statements made by the new education minister, Rafi Peretz, have sparked storms and protests across Israel, as I'm sure that they would have. So what were his comments and that sparked the protests?
So this is a serious thing that we have to talk about because it's not only relevant in Israel, but I think it's relevant for communities around the world. Now, Rafi Peretz came out saying that he supported what he calls conversion treatment for homosexuals. And he actually even went as far as saying that he had conducted some conversion treatment on gay people in order to effectively convert them to become straight. That's really
so offensive. I can't even tell you how offensive this is.
So here's what I want to say about this, because it's a very important discussion. As I say, not only for Israel, but I'm guessing for Jewish communities around the world. Rafi Peretz, of course, was then forced to step back from those comments. The Prime Minister intervened and said that those comments did not reflect the government at all, and that he was very, very disturbed by the comments. And it's then prompted a huge discussion. There is a clear conflict between halakha and being permissive of homosexual people, because those people who want to go down the purely halachic route will say that halakha doesn't allow it. But having said that, Israel is an amazingly, amazingly accommodating society, even within the religious communities, and that being gay in Israel today is really no big deal. It is honestly no big deal. Gays are able to live here, contribute to our society, be members of Knesset, serve in the army openly without having to closet any of the fact that they might be gay. They serve openly. People accept them as such as they are, as it should be, because everybody makes their own choices about what they do with their private lives, and it has nothing to do with anybody else's to exactly what that means for society. We have, you know, people who are gay who've been mayors of cities, who are serving in the Knesset, serving in senior positions in the army, who are serving in every echelon of our society, and who are conducting family lives, who have children, and who are absolutely 100% accepted. And I think that this type of comment has absolutely no place in our society. And even if we do have that conflict with halakha and the gay community. I think there is a time and a place to hold that conversation, and that an enormous number of religious communities are accepting of people who are gay. And I think that the main conflict that arises in this whole discussion is whether this is a choice that people make, which effectively then contravenes halakha,
right,
or is this a way that people happen to be in terms of their genes, in terms of their makeup, in terms of their DNA, which is, you know, what you would talk, you know, when they talk about man having been created in the image of God. The question is, can gay people not have been created in the image of God as they are? That is really the crux of the whole debate.
Well, it's a bit of a religious... Isn't it a ridiculous question? Because if God is omnipotent...
It doesn't really matter.
If God's omnipotent, then God creates everybody. Everybody as they are.
So the point is that halacha obviously is very judgmental of people's choices and actions. In other words, you know, there is a belief in our religion that we are created as we are and we're given choices. And the idea is that we should exercise our choices carefully, and the preferred route, of course, is that we should exercise our choice according to the way that the halacha demands of us. And the question is whether this is one of those choices or not. And that is where the crux of the disagreement exists. But it doesn't really matter. An education minister in Israel has no right to make a statement like this. He has no place in our society. He represents each and every child, no matter what they happen to be in terms of their sexual orientation. He is responsible for educating those children as the Minister of Education. And he has absolutely no right to draw any aspersions on any child, no matter where they come from or what they are. And as I said before, I think that Israel is amazingly accommodating, not only in terms of sexual choices, but also in terms of disabled people and in terms of people who are slightly less fortunate than ourselves. I think that we have an enormously accommodating society. And unfortunately, these comments and this debate does not reflect at all what our society is about. And it's very unfortunate that it is, you know, reared its ugly head in this way and become such a public debate, because it really is not a debate that needs to be held. I think that everybody understands what the situation is, and there is no need for comments of this nature to come out at all.
It's not the first faux pas that he's made, though, is it? I mean, last week he did another one.
Well, that is absolutely true. He's clearly new to this whole political game. There's no doubt about that.
Well, speaking in general.
Of course, he also represents a certain constituency who have expectations of him, and he's trying somehow to serve that constituency while also at the same time trying to serve as the Minister of Education, where his responsibility is to a much wider constituency. And so therein comes some of the dilemma, some of the conflict that we're seeing. And you are absolutely right, Simon, to say he's not been handling it particularly well in his first days. That's for sure.
Anthony, let's move on. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is reported to have offered Naftali Bennett to become Israel's ambassador to the United Nations in return for not standing in the next election. So this is what countries do when somebody's really problematic. You make him an ambassador and you send them off to another country or the United Nations. Does he actually seem as such a threat?
Well, having said all of that, I think that Naftali Bennett would be a fantastic ambassador to the United Nations. I really do.
He's a very
good
speaker.
And so I don't think that it's so far away. And by the way, when Danny Danon was sent off into the distance in order to get him out of Netanyahu's hair, because he was really being quite annoying as a member of the Likud, a member of Knesset, and also a junior minister in the government, and he was really making Netanyahu's life very difficult. Danny Danon was then sent off to New York to become the UN ambassador. And to be fair, I think he has exceeded expectations, certainly exceeded my expectation. And I think he's done a really, really amazing job for Israel at the United Nations. So let's give credit to Danny Danon, who is now ending his term as Israel's ambassador to the United Nations. And I think he's done a really great job. And I think equally so that Naftali Bennett would do a fantastic job. I think he has exactly what Israel needs to become a really good ambassador, good representative for Israel at the United Nations. Of course, Naftali Bennett is a threat to Prime Minister Netanyahu, because right now in the previous elections, of course, Naftali Bennett's New Right Party didn't actually manage to exceed the minimum threshold in order to become elected to the Knesset. But it seems quite likely that Naftali Bennett has learned his lesson from this, and that instead of relying on support just for himself and for Ayala Shaked, if indeed they do choose to run together, it seems as if though they might team up with other groups, and they may well be represented in the next Knesset. So it's not only about Naftali Bennett himself as an individual, but it's also about the number of seats that he'll be able to carry with him and potentially weaken the Likud's hold on power, if you can call it that for now, in terms of what might transpire in the results of the next election. So I think that the Prime Minister's attempt to try and get him out of Israel and away from the election has quite a lot of justification in terms of strengthening Netanyahu's power base. And I think it's a very, very solid recommendation as an individual to go to the United Nations, except for the fact that Naftali Bennett doesn't agree. And he definitely wants to be in the next Knesset. So we understand that he has actually turned down this invitation by the Prime Minister. The Prime Minister, by the way, has also offered Gilad Erdan from the Likud to be the next ambassador to the United Nations. I think he'll be not quite as good as Naftali Bennett. Gilad Erdan has not yet decided whether he will accept this or not, but I think it's equally an attempt to try and get him away from things so that he will be less of an irritation for the Prime Minister in the next Knesset and once the elections are over.
Amazing. Anthony, very, very quickly, the first of five huge operational structures has begun. It's 11,000-kilometer journey to form part of the Leviathan gas platform. Isn't that amazing?
Okay, so this is Leviathan is the way that it's kind of spelt in English. Leviathan is the way that it's pronounced in Hebrew. Leviathan meaning whale. That's the Hebrew word for whale. And this is the giant natural gas platform that will be constructed approximately 10 kilometers off Israel's coast. And it's due for construction very, very soon indeed. Sometime over the next 6 months or so, that platform will be installed. Apparently, the five operational structures that are being shipped from the Gulf of Mexico, from Texas, in fact, are being brought by four huge barges that will be transporting each of these parts across the Atlantic and into the Mediterranean Sea to take a position just off the coast of Israel. And this is really designed to be the start of some huge gas production, some huge gas mining efforts that will be taking place off the coast of Israel, involving the Noble Energy Company, Delek Drilling, and Ratio Oil Exploration. They've already invested almost $4 billion in the development of this reservoir, the Leviathan Reservoir, since it was discovered in 2010. And it's one of the largest that was discovered in the world over the last decade. So this is really exciting, and this is really physical evidence of the fact that this is becoming real for Israel and for the Israeli economy.
Anthony Reich, that is where we leave it today. Thank you so much. I believe we're going to be able to catch up with you at 20 past five this afternoon.
Rumor has it.
Rumor has it. Standing in for Rolene Marks. Thank you so much, and look forward to catching you this afternoon and speaking to you tomorrow morning again.